What I'd like to do is talk about stinking thinking.
What?
Well, let's talk about stinking thinking today. Have you ever had a little conversation with yourself, and especially when things aren't going too well? This is all theoretical. I don't have this problem. Somebody cut you off in traffic. I read this in a book, so I'm going to tell you what I read in the book. And you have this conversation. Well, you idiot. Why did you cut me off? What's your problem? Of all the people in this city, you are here cutting me off. Now we think, yeah, this is really irrational. But we've all done something like that, haven't we? Or stoplights. Now, this is a personal thing. I know when I get in the car, my wife just shakes her head. I know when they get in the car, city officials have a camera in my house. And when I get in the car, they say, time all the lights. He has to stop at every one of them. And make them a little extra long so he can... See? And I know that's a plan. I know. Because the voices tell me. See? We've all had these internal dialogues, haven't we? Have you ever made a mistake and you sort of start going off on yourself by saying, you idiot. Can't you get this right? This thing isn't hard. You had 2 cents worth of wisdom in your empty head. You get this thing right. Now, imagine you've never had that conversation. Where do those conversations come from? And what do they have to do with us growing spiritually? It really has an awful lot to do with it. Because we have this inner dialogue going on with ourselves. And it can come from all kinds of things. This stinking thinking, if you will, can come from all kinds of different areas. But the one basic thing we want to keep in mind today is that it's the belief that things outside us cause us to react emotionally or behaviorally. In other words, if the city hadn't turned those lights to mess up my day, all I want to do is to go to Walmart. But no, they're not going to let me go to Walmart without waiting 20 minutes and every light in this city. See, sometimes I feel that way, but it's ridiculous. They timed the lights, so there you go. Now, I'm sure all of you have some form of stinking thinking that goes on like that. And we blame it on the light, or the city, or the wife, or the husband, or the boss. And our responses, we believe, are being determined by things on the outside. But actually, they're being determined from what's on the inside. What's going on the inside. Let's go to Romans 12. We'll start there. Romans, the 12th chapter. So remember the last time I spoke, I said we're going to talk a little bit more about how to overcome. We always talk about growing and overcoming. Well, that's nice. But what's this how-to stuff? Let's get into that. Romans 12, in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to come back to that and break that down a little bit more. We'll come back to that in just a little bit more. But right now, I just want you to think about it. What is this business? There's a couple key words. Conformed, transformed, and renewing. Those are the key words in that phrase that we'll be looking at a little bit later. You ever had a trucker ride your bumper? A truck, 18-wheeler? Now, my wife just gets really nervous. Now, frankly, I get mad at him. So I just slow down. You want to ride my bumper? Now, my wife says, don't do that, don't do that. Now, I know you shouldn't do that because his truck out there, he can't see you. He gets too close. The hood of his truck is over. He can't see you. Even by law, they don't do it. They're supposed to park far enough away from you, stop far enough away from you in the intersection that they can see the back of your car. Because there are many times they'll come right up over the top, and up top, he can't see you if he's real close. So if the light changes, you'll get here and smash city. So it's not a good plan. But you see, that guy has it out for me. And I will not let this guy intimidate me. I might get us all killed, but I will not. Now, isn't that stinking thinking? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll just do the confessing here. So anyway, think about these things. It's not the driver in the other car. It's not the lights. It isn't your husband. It isn't somebody at church. It isn't your boss. There's this internal dialogue that's going on in our heads that we are responding the way we do. The way we do. Again, that's pretty good, I think, just very way to talk about stinking thinking. Stinking thinking is, look up John 10:10. To see the origin of stinking thinking. John 10 and verse 10. Can you hear me all right? It seems like it's soft. Can you hear all right? I'm having some internal dialogue right now. Okay. Oh yeah. I think we'll talk about Raza a little bit. They're listening in on our phone call. Jim, get your feet off the furniture too. I haven't given him a bad time in a long time. Anyway, John 10, verse 10. Here's the origin of thinking, a stinking thinking. The thief, speaking of Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Well, that's nice. Isn't that just nice? God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. But there's the enemy there that's there to kill and steal and destroy your happiness, the peace that you have in your calling, your mental and emotional stability. He's there to destroy that. And he does this through this internal dialogue. That is, well, for all of us, the internal dialogue started when we were just little bitty kids. What kind of parenting did you have? See, what kind of parenting did you have? That reflects so much on us. It stays with us all of our lives. But as we begin to realize, they're called different triggers, different things that go on in our lives that trigger a response. And it's so habitual, we don't even know we're doing it until after the fact. Whoa, I did it again. But in time, you can begin to identify, fancy term, a trigger, and you begin to identify the lies that Satan has to try and destroy us. Let's go to John 8. He wants to destroy our happiness and our peace in this calling. Does this mean we don't have trials and tests? We all have them. We're not so naive as to think that. But he wants to destroy the joy of it. John 8:44. He's talking here to the Pharisees and the like. You are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of liars. Of lies, of it. So the father of it, father of lies. So, the internal dialogue comes from Satan. I don't mean to say you have a satanic possession. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that internal dialogue comes from you. You may have grown up. Some of you did. I know you did. Some of you may have grown up. And you may have heard things like this. I wish you were never born. You're just messing up my life. Life was okay until you were born. A parent who tells a child that, can you imagine the internal dialogue that stays with that child for the rest of their life? And they trigger off that. When they go to school, they've heard that at home, and they go to school, and the teacher says, oh, Johnny or Susie, why don't you understand that? Boom! The kid already triggers off that, doesn't even know, and he's saying, you're saying I'm dumb, you don't want me, you reject me, and then the kid starts acting out his anger and does things that he or she doesn't know. And all of a sudden they're in trouble. They're at the principal's office. See, everybody hates me. But it all starts with that trigger that came from that very beginning. There's all kinds of different places it comes from. Again, these kinds of things are deep running, but they're triggered. And once that kind of shock happens to the mind, then Satan is there to play with it. Satan is there to play with it. Now, let's get into that. Let's go back to Romans 12 again. This is a very important verse. That's what the other ones are. Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, you may have a mate that certain things that can happen in life just send you crazy, and your mate's just fine, or vice versa. And you say, how can you not get bothered by that? I don't know. Because they don't have the same triggers you do. Now, they have other ones. Now, not that you've done this, but when you're married to somebody for a while, do you know what triggers to pull? Sure you do. And your mate does too. Now, again, hopefully we don't pull those triggers, but you get to know somebody well enough. You know what it is. Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed. That is, if you had like ink, I mean, not ink, wax, and a ring, you press into that, the ring would conform, the wax would conform around the ring. I don't get this spit out yet. But be conformed to this world. Don't become a stamp of it, but be transformed from one thing into something else. By what? The renewing of your mind. That's what conversion is all about. God wants to teach us something to transform the way we think, to transform the way that we think about things. We have to, first of all, understand what triggers us. What triggers us? So, we'll spend some more time here in just a few minutes. So, the transformation. As we said before, many of us in our Christian lives, we're not seeing that transformation as we want to. And that's good that we feel that, but it's also frustrating that we feel that because we think, well, but how? How do I get past where I'm at now? We talked about a little bit about that in the last sermon I gave here. We want to do it some more. What are some unhealthy reactions to life events? Well, some people become workaholics. They work all the time. I know some situations where when this person was a child, their father abandoned the family. Just walked away one day, never to be seen again. Well, that person was a workaholic. They worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. Now, why would they do that? Because as a child, they went hungry. They were very insecure, barely survived. Mom was trying to take care of them. Very difficult times. And so in the back of his mind, without even realizing, he said, in order for me to feel secure, I have to do it all. I have to do it all. I can't trust and depend on anybody to do it. Now, if you have a boss like that, isn't he or she fun? See? If you have a mate like that, ooh. See? Well, sweetheart, have you made the dinner yet? Here, let me do it. Boom. See? This house really looks nice, but I think I'll get that cleaned up over there. Why? Because there's this need to control everything around them. It gives them a sense of control in their lives if they can control everything around them. But what's really is the lack of control in the brain, in the mind. It's that lack of control. You think about marriage situations, talked about that a little bit. Kids, sometimes in our parenting, and again, we trigger and we don't even know we do that. Some of you have been in that class, like all of you young people have been in the class for kids. You parent much the same way you were parented. Oh, no. Hell yes. And you don't even know it, that you're triggering off certain things. And have you ever had something come out of your mouth and you say, oh, no, that was my father. That was my mother. They just talked. Because, you see, it follows us. But as Christians, we don't have to stay there. That's the renewing of our minds. Don't be conformed, but be transformed from the way the world thinks and the way this inner dialogue business has come from Satan's world through the presence of the Holy Spirit that changes in the way that he thinks. But now we're talking about this bridge. How do we bridge that? How do we get there? And first of all, is to become aware of that inner dialogue. Be aware of this inner dialogue that we have. Now, can I have somebody? I want to ask Dan, can you do it? He's hurt himself. Can you help too? Thank you. I enter dialogue with you, Dan. It may not be in it much longer. Okay. Now, when I was making this handout for you, I got it all done. I did a little spell check on it. And buddy, the spell check came back, I think two or three errors, I got that fixed. And then I ran off about two-thirds of them, and guess what? I found two errors. Oh, you need more? I got more on the seat there. I'm sorry. See, you did that just to make me look bad. Huh? See, I know. A little internal dialogue. Okay. Now, there's some of you people I just don't like because you find the mistakes that fast. Well, in the title, there were two mistakes. Now, some of you have it corrected. Some of you don't have it. Some of you, how does the truth develop health thinking? And how, look at, I have how do the truth model develop health thinking? Others of you have it correct. Now, if you and Rosla, I hope you got it correct. Because about the time I ran theirs off, I think they got it right. But you know why that happened? These people who make these crazy computers, they should have known, they should have programmed these things to know the content and context of what I meant. But no, it didn't work that way. And now I've got to put up with people criticizing my work. And I'm certainly not going to go out here and reprint all this stuff. No, I can type it, but not reprint it. And you know what? What's the point of even trying? Nothing ever goes right. You hear the seeking thinking? Where would that kind of thinking come from? When I looked at it, they just started laughing. I said, well, that's perfect. Now, some of you are going through right now so you find any more errors, because I know the way you are. And I know the way I am, you'll probably find them. Okay? But that sneaking thinking probably would stand back if that's how you respond to that kind of environment. You mean you can't figure out this math problem? What are you, stupid? Sit down at the kitchen table here. You don't eat until you figure this out. An idiot can figure this thing out. Get with it. Oh, okay, Dad. Okay, Mom. Whatever. Children grow up under that kind of horrid abuse. And then when they grow up, when they make a mistake, they just trigger off that mistake. I'm stupid. I'll never amount to anything if I'm not an A++ student, because if I just try a little harder, it just kills me when the child gets an A and the parent said, you should have got an A+. In all their lives, enough is never good enough. It's just never good enough. Now, child brings home the D and they're happy with it. Oh, yeah, they'll have a little discussion. And I had one of my kids, I'll say which one, was really beginning to get down on himself because they were getting B+ and A-. And I said, it's all right. You made a good faith effort. You're not dumb. You did fine. And you can't be perfect all the time. You can't be perfect all the time. It'll just wear you out. Don't worry about missing something. Thing is, did you learn from the process? Did you learn from the process? So, okay, which one you got? It should be healthy thinking. And some of you say it should all be capitalized. I'm just going to torture some of you. All right. Let's look at right under there. T for trigger. There's a trigger event. I'm just giving you an example. This could be the trigger event. I just kind of chuckle at it. Well, this is a good trigger event. So I told you about a trigger event. Another one could be all the different things we talked about. Somebody driving, somebody said this, somebody didn't do this. Some people are so easily offended because the way they grew up. They grew up in a household where their feelings were never taken into consideration, and they pushed that hurt inside. So when they're at work, for example, or they're with their mate or whatever, and something comes up, what most people go, oh, well, that's all right, don't worry about it. They're devastated by it. You go, what is your problem? And it's because they've never felt loved and respected and honored. That's a trigger. That's a trigger. Okay, so it's an event or life situation that happens to us. And I realize wrong doesn't start with R, but to make the model work, you had to do it this way. Wrong thinking. So that triggers wrong thinking. Thoughts about the event that are faulty. And I'll give you some examples about that. Then we go into the unhealthy response, emotional and behavioral reactions that are unhealthy. Think about it in your life. What are your unhealthy responses? Think about what those are. They stem from an internal dialogue with yourself. Truth. Now we're going to, it forms the word truth, these various letters. Truth is the reality about the situation. That's what we're going to be talking about here today from here on out. What's the reality of the situation? The reality of the situation is, I didn't hit all the keys right. And you can look at the piece of paper and life will go on. Some of the greatest inventions were hoopaws. You know that little sticky paper stuff? You know, that little, what do I call that? Sticky paper, yeah, notes, okay. And it, as I understand it, they were testing some kind of glue, and they put some glue in this thing and stuck it to the table, and they went home for the weekend, and they came back, and they were trying to find a glue that just would hold and hold and hold, and they said, oh, nothing worked. Wait a minute. Put it back down, but it wouldn't move until you pulled it off, and it would work over and over and over for a while. Whoa. A new invention, and they got filthy rich. Now, that never happens to me because, you see, life is out to get me. Everybody hates me, man. You know. You've been there, too. The voices tell you, you're that interesting. No. That's just thinking again, isn't it? What's the reality of the situation? You missed some keys. Big deal. Now, if it's a paper and you're going to, well, you missed out. Maybe you get to do it again. Or who knows? It's not the end of the world. Don't blow it up. Yes, you caught another red light. Now, what should you tell yourself when you come up to a red light? Or you made a mistake on a paper? Or you're overreacting? You're reacting to something in your life. And you know, why am I doing this? That's the next question of the pursuit of truth. Why am I doing that? The reason I have a short temper is because I was raised in a household where you could not make mistakes. You have perfectionist parents or parents, and they were right on you every minute of every day. Did you make a mistake? Now, the unspoken message is, I as a parent don't make mistakes. You do, and I'm here to catch them all. And the inner rage just begins to build, and now this person, whatever, I'm just making this up, has a real temper problem, and they can't understand it. That's the trigger. You're trying to be perfect. You can't be perfect. You respond to your imperfection. And that inner dialogue, you'll hear it over and over and over. You're a dummy. Why can't you do it the way I do it? I got it right. Why can't you get it right? And see, and that's that trigger. So if you can stop and say, whoa, that's where that trigger comes from. Is that realistic? How about when we, in our personal spiritual life, I sinned. Oh, I'm never in the kingdom. Why did God even call me and I don't think I'm converted? There's that internal dialogue again. You're an idiot. You'll never make it. What you know what? I just think you're just here for the ride. You're not really a Christian. Oh yeah, you play the part on Saturday. Where is that coming from, folks? It's coming from Satan, who had this inner dialogue, probably coming when you were raised as a child, that you dare not show imperfection. All kinds of different things. But what we begin to do is to learn the triggers. Why is that triggering me? Why is that triggering me? Is it really hard for you to go and talk to somebody who's offended you? That may stem from situations in the past where if you ever approached anybody about, hey, can we talk about this? Maybe if it was parents or something earlier in your life, who knows? And you trusted somebody to step out and try to address an issue, and you got blown away. You dummy. What are you offended about that for? There's nothing to be offended about. Why don't you grow up? Or you don't have any trust in somebody from abuse of kinds, different kinds. Whoa. But you see, the real problem isn't the external activity. People, places, things. It's how you're responding to it. This is that transformation, to be able to see it. Okay, so this is the H part, the healthy reactions, emotional and behavioral reactions that are healthy. To learn those things, begin to say, wait a minute. I can pitch a fit over the lights, or I can stop and say, you know what? What is this thing that the whole world has to have green lights, but I can get to Walmart on time? Who are you? Isn't that silly to think you're that important? And that, of course, I know they do. But the whole world is out to get you because of the green light and the red light thing? Okay, what does that tell you about you? So you start saying, well, okay, that's not rational. Blah, 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 blah. Why do I respond this way to my mate? Why do I not respond the way I don't respond? Why do I say and do things, and the second it happens, I go, why? It's because it's a trigger. It's not a person. It's not the place. It's a trigger. Post-traumatic stress is a lot like that. People have been in wars and different things like that. Walking down the street, everything's fine, and a car backfires, and the next thing they know, they're on the ground, just trembling. Or they actually kind of zone out, and it doesn't happen a lot. Sometimes they think they're back in the middle of Vietnam or World War II or whatever it is, and they just go nutty because they triggered off that sound. They triggered off that, and they don't even know it. So when they try to help people with those kind of problems, you have to identify the triggers. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4, we've read this many times. This is how this transforming starts to take place. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. So we want to find the truth. What is it? Why is this thing triggering you the way you do? When we get into a counseling situation, people say, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I don't do this. Whatever it is. So I'm looking for things that cause this trigger in their lives. And they may not even be aware of it. They're Christians. They have God's Spirit. But they're human beings who are responding to things they don't even know they're responding to. They're not aware of that. Now, brethren, whatever things are true, you need to find them. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, see, lovely, whatever is of good report, of good virtue. It goes on here saying, meditate, think on these things. Well, I'm using the principle here, we need to, when we think about our triggers, we need to think, okay, let's pursue the truth of this matter here, because then I can find out what the problem is, and then I can make the changes. Truth and nobility, I can start making these changes in my life instead of responding all the time. I can begin to anticipate. So I can begin to anticipate. In this type of environment, I'm vulnerable, whatever it may be, and so I need to be careful. If I'm around this person or that situation, I need to be careful because it's my inner dialogue that I have to. So as soon as you start hearing this, whatever it may be in your mind, stop and say, what does that tell me about me? What that tells me about me is, well, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I've grown up thinking I have to be perfect in order to be accepted. Anybody here perfect? Yeah, okay. He's pushing me. You guys over there at Roswell, it's Matthew Trills. He raised his hand, by the way. And usually, do this inner dialogue thing going on here. Oh, there's a way that seems right unto a man. Okay. But anyway, the point is here, think about it in these areas. Nobody's perfect, including Matthew. So when we sin, we don't want to make a license of sin. We've got to be careful, don't we? But we can realize, whoa, wait a minute. I've got all this garbage that I've got from my past, and I'm responding to the garbage, and I'm using all this outward stimulus as an excuse for it. See, that's truth. That's getting healthy. That's beginning to get healthy. If, just to use this as an extreme, because it's, and it's true for you, it's true as this as other population I'll mention. People in prison, if they can ever understand that. But see, you're no different. You and I are no different. But I'm just trying to show you so we can kind of make it a little more so it's not quite so directed towards us. People in prison are in prison not because they had a bad judge. They had a bad court. The lawyer was any good. They're out to get me. See? That all started way back. They were responding, and they respond wrongly. And I wrote down this. This is not positive thinking. It's in the box. But looking at truth, the truth of the matter. Positive thinking is nonsense. All right, let's do positive thinking. I just know that in 6 months from now, I will be 6 feet tall, fabulously wealthy, very handsome. I just know it. And I'm going to tell this to myself over and over and over, and it's going to happen. It's not this. You know, the power of positive thinking, it's just nonsense. We're talking here the power of truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth about, in this case, what we're talking about is what triggers you. What triggers you? Now, do you think Satan knows what triggers you? Okay, you just got an all A on that one. You know, he knows. And that's what he's out there to get you so wrapped up in your response to this stimulus that you give up trying. Because the trying is to identify the trigger, why you do what you do. We as Christians always look at the response and say, look what I did, look what I said. And that's part of it, but that's not everything. Again, this here says, below the box, trigger event T happens, whatever it may be. You have an unhealthy response. And then the you and the word truth occurs because of wrong thinking. The trigger, the event, is the reason for the unhealthy response. See? It's the trigger, but it isn't the cause. Therefore, the truth has not caused our reaction. The trigger event is causing our reaction. Again, it's just something for you to think about there. Let's talk here briefly about some faulty thinking that destroys us. I've done this a little bit already, but first of all, the idea that you have to be perfect. Someone who feels they have to be perfect Christian, I can't even allow a thought that's not pristine and pure of all moments in my mind. Can't do it. Can't do it. Why is that? Well, let's go to Matthew 5:48. Maybe I should put this verse to it. God says I have to be perfect. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as the Father in heaven is perfect. It says you have to be perfect. Did you look at the Greek? It's really talking about, I can't remember all the technical stuff. It's the actively becoming. That's my way. It shows it's a becoming. Become you perfect. It's a process. And that's what we're talking about here today, is how do you become perfect? Learning what I call the trigger events. What is it that's around us that we trigger? Why do we respond the way we do? It's a future tense. Shall be, shall or should become. It should come to pass. Therefore, you should become perfect as your Father in heaven is already perfect. But it's a becoming. It's not an already being. But boy, living in this perfection state, it's impossible. And you burn out. And that is almost, well, in some cases it just flat out is. What does that tell us about that, if that's one of your issues? It's telling you you're still trying to earn God's love and respect. You want God to accept you. In order to that, I must be exactly like God. Well, I want to be like God, and I know I'm not. Well, don't make a license to sin then. But you see, God knows all of our imperfections, and he still accepts us, and he loves us, and he's working with us. That's why that transforming takes place. My brother wouldn't mind me saying this, because he said it publicly himself. When his son was just a little bitty guy, he's now a full-grown man, but when his son was a little bitty guy, they went out to the golf course. And his son went, wham, hits the golf ball, you know. And he's a good golfer, by the way, to this day. And the next thing he did, the little boy, he's about four, took his golf clubs and just started throwing them on the ground and stamping his feet. And my brother said, what are you doing? He says, well, Dad, you told me to do just what you do. Ooh. So where did he learn that kind of stinking thinking? It's funny, but it's a good example, isn't it? You learn. So in his head, and both of them are good golfers, is you must be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you won't be accepted. Okay. Another kind of stinking thinking, I must have everyone's love and approval. I just want everybody to like me. Well, then you become a people pleaser, and you know what? You lose yourself. You don't know who you are. Kids get this in school. When they're at home, they're one way, and when they're at school, they're another way. Not everybody, of course, but this is because they want to be people pleasers. Whatever the crowd's doing, they're going to do because they want to be accepted. Maybe you do that at work. Or are you willing to stand up and say, you know, I'm not going to go to this place, I'm not going to do that because of my personal religious convictions, because I think it's wrong. Or, I want to be liked. I want to be liked. So you can't do that. Otherwise, you're chameleon? You're constantly changing. Constantly changing. Pretty soon, you don't know who you are. So you say, well, there's the church me, then there's the work me, and there's the home me, and whoa, there's the guy at work me, and then pretty soon, you don't know who you are anymore. Personal worth equals performance. You know, pretty much connected to some of the other things we've already said. Believing something isn't enough. Let's go to James 2. Just believing something isn't enough. James 2. Verse 19. James 2. You believe, in verse 19, you believe that there is one God, so do I. You and I believe there's one God. Let's see who else is in our company. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Does it change their inner dialogue? No. They hate God. They fear Him because, you know, they have to submit to Him. They have more. He doesn't have the. God's got more authority than they do. He has more power than they do. And they tremble before Him. But they hate Him. That inner dialogue started with Satan beginning to broadcast his attitude towards angels, and we know a third of them fell. And he got them to believe his lies to where they actually became part of them. That thinking process became part of them. And they no longer have any kind of good or righteous thoughts at all. Totally gone the other way. Totally gone the other way. So, just having this knowledge isn't enough. It's not enough just to fear and tremble before God. But it's a commitment to say, I want to learn why I'm doing what I'm doing. I want to look for those triggers in my life. Why do I respond? And what do those triggers tell me about myself? That's where you start getting the truth. Why does it tell me? What does it tell me about myself? What does it tell me about myself? Let's just conclude here by going to Proverbs. See if I get my page here. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and we're going to start and read verse 7. Very powerful. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Another one is in Galatians, by your fruits, I didn't write it down. You reap what you sow. There's another one. You reap what you sow. Now, what I'm trying to say today is, what are you sowing? You're sowing wrong thinking. Stinking thinking. You've sown it into your life. It's become so much a part of you, it seems natural to you. And the truth is that will set you free is to stop and say, what is this thing? Why do I trigger off that? What is it? And be willing to look for the real answer to that issue. You'll throw up all kinds of straw men. to do it. But eventually the truth will come forward. That's one of the things for counseling, is to just, well, here's this, but is that really the issue? Let's go a little deeper so we can get to what the real issue is. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but in his heart is not with you. So again, as you think in your heart, so are you. That's a powerful verse. And what's in your heart is a result of that inner dialogue that goes on all the time. That inner dialogue that goes on all the time. Let's conclude by going to Romans, the 12th chapter again. Verse 1. I urge you, so really what beseech means, you don't say that anymore. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, when you consider all that God has done for us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your rational or reasonable service. That's totally rational. That's what we want to do. And do not be conformed to stinking thinking. If I can be allowed to do that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind by understanding what triggers you off. Why do you respond that way to this situation and respond that way? Well, it's my idiot husband, my idiot wife, my idiot kids, my idiot boss, my idiot pastor, whatever. The car hates me. I've done that. The car doesn't hate you. But what does all that tell you about yourself? I want control. I want things my way. Why do you want things my way? Ask yourself these questions. And then, as you start this process, you're not going to do it perfectly. So those of you who got to be perfect, forget it for right now. It's a process. You're becoming. So pretty soon, that event, you'll see. You might even sense it. Uh-oh. If this doesn't go right, I'm going to respond this way. Nope. I'm not going to do it this time. Now you're beginning to learn. And sometimes you won't respond the wrong way. And other times you will say, okay, now wait a minute. I didn't respond right that time. Why? And ask yourself. But instead we say, oh, I just did it again. That's kind of the official Greek way of saying it. I suppose, okay, I did that again, or about that again, or whatever it is, I responded that way again. Why? Why? Because you're just no good, you're an idiot, you'll never amount to anything. Thinking again. Wait. Why do I respond this way habitually? It goes back somewhere. And you've got to identify where it's at. And as you do, God will show you that, and that transforming of your mind, transforming it from this carnal, internal nonsense that Satan is broadcasting, his attitude, Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, to where God is now leading us away from that through the Spirit. And as he leads us away, he begins to teach you how to think in a healthy way. That's called conversion. And you begin to transform from this, transform into this. But you're not going to just go, okay, I'm baptized. And it's great. No, you're going to go, back. But it's okay. It's growing. You're learning. You're growing. I'm doing some things with my hand, Rod. I'm going to have to figure that out. All right. So let's go back here. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 4 shows you what to be thinking on. That you may prove through experience, see, as you experience this, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the beginning of how to get over that stinking thinking. The how to process. Watch yourself this week. Watch yourself today. Why do I respond the way I do? Alcoholics do this when they learn. Uh-oh, I can't be in this environment. Why? Because it triggers me. A drug addict, I can't be in this environment because it triggers me. It's the same thing. We're all that way. We're just addicted to different things. Think about that as you begin this week to look at your stinking thinking.